Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on another popular lie right after this. You know, during World War II, our parents and grandparents planted victory gardens, and they helped to provide their own food and fiber for themselves and their country. Well, today, more than half of the food that we eat here in the United States is imported from outside our borders. Now, our food is produced from hybrid seed, and it will not reproduce, and it is nutritionally deficient. Now, a guy named Adolf Steinbrum of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients that are usually added to commercial feeds. And when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwestern states, Steinbrum's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, 205% more manganese, and the same result was also seen in the contents of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. And in the opinion of many ecologic farmers, hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly of our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, but best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. I want you to do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about a thing here called another popular lie. I was sitting down here doodling the other day, and while I was sitting in the Firestone store, while they were aligning and balancing my tires, and I said, my God, I have been scammed. I came into my Firestone store, and I've been baited and switched. Bait and switch. Now, I don't hold it against the salesman for doing that or any of you salesmen out there, because, see, I'm a salesman myself, and I'm a sales instructor. I teach sales. And I told the salesman, I said, son, I'm going to give you a B-plus on your sale here today. But, my God, I'm not going to give you an A. You held me up for an hour while you're trying to sell me this $2,000 package that I don't want, can't use, don't need, and I'm not going to buy. But I don't blame you for trying to make the sale. I got to thinking about, my God, how many of these lies are going on? Now, bait and switch is a lie. It's just a salesman's lie. It's a ruse that he uses to sell you a bunch of crap that you don't want, don't need, can't use, and shouldn't have. But, hey, the salesman's got a wife, kids, a mortgage, and grass to mow just like you and everybody else. He's just trying to make a living. And I can't fault him for that. But I got to thinking, why do we need to live in a society full of popular lies? What would be wrong with a society made up of popular truths? So last time I told you about the cancer story, I said, help, there's 13 cures to cancer out here. Now, God help you, if you go out here and start disseminating these 13 cures to cancer, you're going to have the FDA, the FBI, the IRS, the American Medical Association, hell, you're going to prison doing that. That's a sin that's second only to selling drugs on the street corner. Curing cancer is second only to selling drugs on the street corner. And ain't nobody wants to hear that story. So that's what I reported to you last time. But listen, there's another popular lie going on out here. It's called public education. It's called free education for all children in public school. It's the free education system. And I emphasize that word free. You send your child to school and you don't have to buy the textbooks. See, it's free. You do not have to pay tuition. It isn't like, you know, you send your kid up here to the local Lutheran or Catholic school where the Catholic school every month expects you to pay. I sent my children to private school. And every month they expect to be paid. You know, you got to write them a check, you know, for $300-$400 a month. Hey, that choked you up, you know. Along about the first of every month, you know, not only do you have to pay the telephone bill and the electric bill and the mortgage and the car payment, and then what the hell is this? My God, it's the Lutheran school tuition bill. It's $440. You know, that'll choke you up. And that's because, see, that's not free public education. So people love public school because they don't have to pay for it. It's free. And it's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. So I thought I'd take on that popular lie, and let's talk about free education for all children in public school, because the system of education in America is the most expensive educational system ever devised by the mind of man in the history of the world. You people in America are paying more to educate a child to be dumber than any previous generation in our history. You just didn't know how the money was being collected. So what we do here in the United States, we put it on the tax bill. Because, see, this tax bill, nobody knows how much it is. Nobody knows. Now, when you have to write a check to pay your income tax, see, that'd be a shock. When you write that check to the parochial school, by God, now you know how expensive education is. That'll sober you up. I mean, if you were out drunk last night, you just sit down and start writing checks, and when you see that tuition bill over here at the parochial school, that'll sober you right up. Now, the government's not dumb, so they come along and they say, look, we can't let people know that they're paying these taxes. If they know they're paying these taxes, my God. So here's what they do. They lay the tax on General Motors. They lay the tax on McDonald's. These are corporations. And so McDonald's over here, they're in competition with Burger King and Wendy's and Joe down on the corner. And when the state imposes this tax upon this business, you know, we'll just call it a sales tax, or we could call it a business tax or whatever, it applies to everybody equally. And so the McDonald's people, they just raise the price of a hamburger by 2 cents. So let's suppose that they're charging you $1.39 for a Big Mac, say. Well, just raise the price to $1.44, that's all. And then Wendy's will do the same thing, and Burger King will do the same thing, and everybody that comes in there pays a nickel more for their Big Mac. That's the tax, and then they use that tax for whatever they want to spend it on. See how that works? God, it works like a shot, and you people love it. Absolutely love it. Because, you see, that equals free education for all children in public school. Let me show you the cost of it. They've done some studies, you know, these famous theys. Okay, well, there's people out there that run around and make their living, called economists, and they run around looking at numbers. And the Department of Education, you know, Department of Education, that's this bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., and the Department of Education run around and they collect numbers and statistics and facts and figures, and they correlate all this stuff, and they've got people at work doing that, and that's what keeps those people off the streets and out of the pool halls and off the unemployment lines, gathering useless information that nobody reads and knows where to find anyway. But it's valuable because it stimulates the economy. So these people keep all these numbers together, and then there's other people out there that go look up those numbers so they can come out here and tell you more lies about whatever it is that they're pushing. Say, well, once in a while, somebody picks up these numbers and they publish them, and so then a guy like me comes along and says, oh my God, how can this be? So let me give you a number. It costs, on average, in the United States of America, $10,000 to educate one child in public school for 1 year. Now, there's 180 school days in the year. He's not going to school 365 days a year. He's only going 180. So take 180 and divide that into $10,000. Let's just do that. I'm going to do it right here in front of you so you'll see the number. Divided by 180. Watch this. And it costs $55.55 a day to educate a kid in public school. Isn't that special? All right. Write that down so you can tell your husband tonight over the dinner table. You can say, hey, Bob, do you know how much it costs to educate one child in public school in the United States, nationwide, coast to coast, and border to border for 1 day? And Bob will be absolutely dumbfounded. He'll say, Mary, no, I don't know. And he'll say, $55.55. And he'll gasp, spit out his potatoes and gravy. And he'll say, no, Mary, surely it can't be $55.55 a day. And it won't mean anything to Bob because he hasn't got anything to hang that on. He'll just say, okay, so it's 55 bucks a day, so it's a big deal. Well, okay, so write that one down. That's what it costs to educate a kid in public school. This is free education for all children in public school. Well, it ain't exactly free because it costs 55 bucks a day. All right, that's point number one. Now, let's send this kid down to the local Catholic school. How much does it cost to educate this kid down at the local Catholic school? You ever wonder about that? Well, the average is $2,300 a year. $2,300. So let's take $2,300 a year and divide that by 180 school days, and it costs $12.77 a day to educate a kid down here in the Catholic school. This is where all of us that send our children to parochial school choke. I mean, we gasp for air when we get our bill at the end of the month, because it's costing $12.77 a day, and they're in school, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 23 days. So that's just times 23 days in a month, and it costs you $300 a month to send this kid to parochial school. Okay, it's actually $293.88, but just round it off to $300 a month. That's why you want to send your kid to public school, so that you don't have to write that $300 a month check. But I wanted to point out to you now, as you're talking to Bob tonight when he comes home from work, and you're eating dinner, you know, with the little kiddies sitting around the dinner table. Bob, did you know it costs $55.55 to educate a child in public school? But it only costs $12 And what was that now? $12 and some cents here. It was $2,300 divided by 180. We've got to do that number again. 1277. So it's 55-55 versus 1277. Now, here's where you can really bedazzle your husband tonight, ladies. What is the percentage difference? So let's divide 1277 by 55. 55.55. My God! It only costs 23%. 23% of what it costs to educate a child. Yeah, round it off. You know, 75, 25. Put another way, it costs 75% more to educate a kid in public school than it does in private school. Now, that's not the end of the story. How much does it cost to educate your child in home school? So if you want to divide this out, you got 50 million kids in public school, 5 million kids in parochial school, and about 2 million kids in home school.
Yeah, you know.
Just round it off a little bit so you can come up with your numbers. You got that, ladies? 50 million in public school. And then you got about 5 million in parochial school and 2 million in home school. How much does it cost to educate children in home school so that you can save that $300 a month? All right. You ready for this? It's $555 a year. $555 a year. On average. You know, some people spend more than that and some people spend less, but on average, $555. Now, let's try that one. 555 divided by 180 school days, and it costs $3.08 a day to educate this kid in home school. So there's your costs. Got that down, ladies? 55 a day in public school, 1277 a day in parochial school, and $3.08 a day in home school. Now, when Bob comes home tonight and you give him these numbers, he's going to look at you, Mary, and he's going to say, ah, so what? They all get the same education, so it costs a little bit more, you know, in public school, but, you know, hey, they're all learning the same stuff. Oh, no, Bob. Taint so. Now, listen up. Pay attention here. If you send a kid to public school on average nationwide, and then you give him a test, you know, no kid left behind, no child left behind, you give him a test, and you want to find out how smart this kid is and how much you're getting for your money, he's going to score at the 50th percentile. So write down public education, 55 a day equals 50th percentile. All right, got that down? All right, Mary, now catch the next number. 1277, cost $12.77 a day down here at the local Catholic school. All right, that kid on average will score at the 80th percentile. 80. That's 30 points higher. For 75% less money, the kid's going to score 60% higher. That's why you're paying that $300 a month. All right, now kids, buckle down here. Hang on to your armchairs here. Because for $3.08 a day, your kid on average will score at the 86th percentile. Get that? All right. Now, we got some dumb kids, then we got some dumber kids, and then we got the dumbest of the dumb kids. And those are in the New Orleans and the Washington, D.C. and the New York inner city public schools. Got that? These are called the inner city public schools. These are the worst of the worst. See, the 50th percentile in the public school education system, that's the average nationwide. But we've got some real, real good schools in our inner cities. I mean, these are top-notch public educational institutions. All right. Are you ready for this? Now, if your kid's in the downtown Cleveland public school or L.A., San Francisco, something like that, he's scoring on average nationwide now at the 28th percentile. 28. Huh? Yeah, that's right. Now, how much does it cost to educate a kid to the 28th percentile in New Orleans or Washington, D.C.? Hang on here, kids. Got this one? It costs on average $14,000 a year. $4,000 more to educate this kid to be dumber than the dumb. So you send your kid to public school, cost you $55 a day to make him dumb. That's to dumb him down. Let's multiply this one out. $14,000 a year. And let's divide that by 180 days, and it costs $77.77 to educate this kid in the inner city public school. These are called problem schools. Boy, I'll say they're a problem. Got that? $77.77 a day in the inner city school. Now, if he's in a suburban school, also translated in all white. Now, if he's in a white school, he'll score at the 50th percentile. If he's in a black school, he's going to score at the 28th percentile. And it costs you $4,000 a year more. Let's take that one, 4,000 divided by 10,000. Well, that's 40. It costs you 40% more to make this kid how much dumber. Let's figure that one out. Let's see, if he was scoring at 50, and we divided that, take that 28 and divide that by 50, 56, that's 44. Okay, so it costs you 40% more to make your kid 40% dumber. God, that really works out good, Mary. Write that down. If you spend 40% more money in an inner city public school, the child will turn out to be 40% dumber. That's one 1 percentage point per dollar. My God, what a bargain, huh? Got these numbers down, $77.77 to educate a kid in the inner city public school, $55.55 to educate him in a white school, $12.77 a day to educate this kid in a Catholic school, $3.08 to educate this kid in a homeschool, and if you educate him at home, he will be smart, if you or the smartest, and then if you educate him in parochial school, he'll be smart, and if you educate him in public school, he'll be dumb, and if you educate him in an inner city public school, he'll be the dumbest of the dumb. That's Washington and New Orleans. All right, now here's what that tells us. The more money you spend on education, the dumber your kid will be. I mean, I didn't make it that way. I'm just a damn reporter giving you the facts. Got it right out of the Department of Education. My God, if you can't believe and trust your government, who can you trust? Huh? Let me ask you that. Right out of the Department of Education. They're the guys that keep track of all this crap. Now, why is this? What in the hell is going on here? You educate a kid at home, and get this. The average homeschool parent who is homeschooling his kid does not have a teaching credential. They're not teachers. And furthermore, the majority of them do not have a college education. How do you like that? So here you got some dumb mother, high school dropout, has a couple of kids, educates them at home for $3 a day, and turns out that the 86th percentile, and they're smarter than the kid that's going to the parochial school by 6 points, smarter than the kid going to the public school by, let's see, how much is that, 86 and 50, or 36 points, and smarter than the kid in the inner city public school. Hey, are you waking up here? Can you smell any coffee? Now, what do our politicians tell us? They say, the reason that Johnny can't read and the reason we're having all these problems in Washington, D.C. and in New Orleans is that the classrooms are overcrowded, the teachers are underpaid, they're overworked, and we've got to have more money for our public school system. Hell, I've just showed you, the more money you spend on education, the dumber the kid gets. I could make a safe prediction here. If President Obama would double the amount of money that we're educating our children with today, we could cut the educational quality by 50%. Now, you know, if you're spending $14,000 a year and the kid is scoring at the 28th percentile, if we would spend $28,000 a year, I think we could lower his scholastic aptitude or his scholastic performance from 28 to 14. I think we could cut it in half. Well, let me put it to you this way. If you want your child to be dumber and dumber, you should spend more and more money on it. Because that's what the numbers tell us. That's what the numbers tell us. Now, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success here, boys and girls, but I got an article here, and it's called The School Report 689 Public Education's Problems. It's from David W. Kirkpatrick, Senior Education Fellow of the U.S. Freedom Foundation. And you can get a copy of this from www.freedomfoundation.us. And you're looking for report number 689. Can you remember that, Mary? You can absolutely bedazzle Bob when he comes home tonight. I mean, he is going to just absolutely be overwhelmed by all of this information that you're going to give him about public, private, and home education. Now, David Kirkpatrick says, public educators' problems are not all their fault. It's not all the fault of the principal of your school. It's not all the fault of the teacher. Well, if that's the case, then whose fault is it? Okay, listen up, Mary, we're going to talk. One problem with policymakers is that they insist upon making policy, and perhaps nowhere is this more of a problem than in public education. In a recent study by Common Good of Laws and Regulations affecting a typical New York City high school, here is the latest example. The study found that more than 60 sources of law and regulations, including thousands of provisions, applying to a New York City high school. These regulations include the New York State 800-page school law. Then there's 720 pages of regulations from the State Commissioner of Education. Then there's 15,000 decisions contained in 43 volumes of the Commissioner's Office. And then there's 204-page teachers' union contract with the district. And then there's a 700-page No Child Left Behind Act. And then there's more than 200 pages of regulations that just concern student discipline. That's a total of 17,624 pages of regulations that apply to every child attending a New York City public school that has to be administered by your school teacher and the principal. 17,624 pages of regulations that regulate every child attending a New York City public school. Well, one of the reasons that we can teach Johnny more for less at home is that we've got 17,624 fewer pages of material to be concerned with, and we can get right down to the business of 2 and 2 equals 4. Got that? But you can't do that in a New York City school. You can't start on this 2 and 2 equals 4 until after you've gotten through 17,624 pages of regulations. All right. So a little bit of benefit should be, or a little bit of slack, I guess, should be cut for the New York City school teacher and the principal. Hey, we're at about the halfway point here, so let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And remember, the family, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and I emphasize adults. Children need not apply here. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners, and these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you would like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about another popular lie. Education, public education, is another popular lie. It is, without a doubt, the most overrated, underperforming, most expensive lie that has ever been perpetrated upon mankind in the history of the world. Name one greater than public education. Free education for all children in public school. Number one, it is the most expensive educational system ever created by the mind of man. There has never been, there is not now in the world today, nor has ever been in the history of the world, an educational system as expensive as this one that we've created in the United States. There is no educational system in the world that turns out as poor an academic standard as is being produced in the United States. A Japanese delegation came over here, looked at our public schools for 2 years, went home to Japan and said there was not one single thing that they saw in the educational system of America that they would duplicate in Japan. Not one in 2 years. My God, you'd have thought they would have found a playground someplace with a slide or a superior swing that they could have taken back to Japan. They said there wasn't anything. Nothing. Zero. Wasted 2 years. All right, now before the break, I showed you there's 17,624 pages of material that the local school teacher in New York City has to contend with before she can get to the business of teaching Johnny to read or write or count. Now, paragraph 3. 65 steps are involved in suspending a disruptive student. So if you've got a disruptive student in a class in New York City, there are 65 steps that the teacher has to follow in order to suspend that student from school. There are 83 steps that are required in a New York City school to fire a teacher who is incompetent. So if you're a principal in a New York City school and you've got a teacher over here that's stupid, can't teach, needs to be fired, it takes 83 steps to carry it out. There are 38 steps that it takes in filling a teacher vacancy. So if you could follow the 83 steps and get rid of firing the teacher, you got another 38 steps that you got to follow to fill the vacancy. There are 99 things that have to be considered in replacing a heating system in a public school. There's another 99 things that we have to consider when we conduct an athletic event, including the size of the ear flaps, and 35 steps in suspending a special education student. Some of these procedures can take years to resolve, even then, such as an attempt to fire a teacher. It may cost more than $100,000 to fire an incompetent teacher, which takes 83 steps, and it still may not be successful. Now, for you businessmen out there, you just picture this. You're running a business, and it takes 65 steps to suspend, fire, or get rid of a disruptive employee. It takes 83 steps to get rid of a supervisor, 38 steps to replace the supervisor, 99 steps to install or replace a heating system, 99 steps in order to conduct an event such as an assembly line, 35 steps in suspending a special handicapped employee. Some of these procedures can take years to resolve, and if you want to fire one of these supervisors, it could cost you $100,000 and still not be successful. Could you run a business like that? My God, there isn't a business in America that could survive that kind of crap. General Motors or IBM or anybody. You have saddled the public school system with such an onerous system of regulation, communist bureaucracy, that it is now impossible to function. And I listen to these nitwits come on the air and say, well, we want to reform the Washington, D.C. public school system, and we now have a woman from Korea who's going to reform the Washington, D.C. education system. God, I wish you luck, lady. There's a Korean woman. I've forgotten her name now. And they call her the Iron Lady, the Ice Lady. I mean, they got as many names and euphemisms for this woman as you can come up. They haven't called her a whore from Flo's Whorehouse yet, but that's coming. Just get ready for it. The woman is hamstrung from the get-go. She cannot reform the system because of the regulations involved. The first thing you got to do is get rid of the regulations. Hell, you can't do that because you got the union involved. And the union is there for the express purpose of keeping these incompetent teachers employed, which, you know, performs a public service. I don't deny it. Can you imagine what would happen to all of the incompetent teachers in the public school system if you fired them? I mean, let's wake up. My God, if they're incompetent in the public school system, where in the hell else could they work? They would starve to death. You would have dead bodies scattered from coast to coast and border to border. You would have dead teachers rotting in the public streets, for crying out loud. There'd be so many of them. Couldn't bury them fast enough. No, my friends, you have to keep the public school system intact to keep all of these incompetent nitwits employed so you can keep them fed, to keep them from dying and polluting and rotting in the streets. I jest, but paragraph 4. Nor is New York State alone. Nor is New York State at the top of the list in bureaucratic complexities. Indiana's school code at 1,250 pages a few years ago is now more than 50% longer than New York's. California has more than 9,000 pages, and its 11 volumes are said to weigh more than 40 pounds. It includes such essential details as stipulating football uniforms be sterilized at least once a year, districts may use armored vehicles to transport money to banks, and prohibiting parents from helping paint or clean public schools without union permission. God help you people in California if you go out there and chip and paint your public school without permission from the union. I would think that it's the painters union that would be concerned about paint on the public school. What in the hell does the teachers union care whether it gets painted by union help or not? I just thought I'd throw that one out there. It's been reported that Pennsylvania suburban school district superintendents must comply with 1,027 mandates, 70% of which are unfunded. And a few years ago, then Ohio Governor George Voinovich said school administrators in that state spend as much as 50% of their time filling out federal forms. Hey, wait a minute. You mean to tell me the school administrators are spending half their time filling out federal forms, which account for only 6% of the education spending? I had a student in here one time. He's a businessman up in Cleveland, Ohio, and he was running a coin store up there. And here was his dilemma. He was having a problem with the Ohio State Department of Revenue, or, you know, income tax, social, whatever the hell they call it up there. And then he was running a coin store out on Main Street, you know, and 90% of his business was conducted privately at home. Now, he'd come over, knock on my door, come in here, and sell me some coins. And 10% of his business was done out of his store. But 90% of his tax and 90% of his problems came from his store. He didn't have any problems at all dealing with people like me in the privacy of our own home. So one day he comes blowing in here, and he said, hey, I want to go to school. And I said, well, bring out your attaché case here, and let's look at some coins. And he put some coins on the counter, and I selected a few of them. And I said, yeah, these coins here will give you one school. As I recall, it was $3.40. I gave him one school for $3.40. One of them was a $17.94 flowing hair half dollar. I remember that coin. Yeah, $3. Well, about three and a half. So, anyway, we conducted that deal right here in the classroom. And he said he doesn't have any problems with that at all. But he has 90% He has 100% of his problems coming out of government on 10% of his business. And I said, did it ever occur to you, Sen, that you ought to close that store and spend 90% more of your time? See, he's only spending 10% of his time selling and making 90% of his money. I said, why don't you close that damn store, spend 90% of your time selling privately, and solve all of your problems at the same time? And the guy, he just couldn't believe the simplicity of the solution to his problem. Close the damn store that's causing 100% of your government problems. Spend 90% of your time, which you're now spending in your store, working for private parties, where you're now spending 10% and making 90% of your money. And I think you'll do better. Oh, yeah, boy, that guy's done a lot better. Now, that's the problem they got here in Pennsylvania. Listen to this. A few years ago, the governor said school administrators in that state spend 50% of their time working on federal forms and only get 6% of their money from there. Never occurred to you people in Pennsylvania to throw the federal government the hell out of your public school system, tell them to take their 6% and stick it where there's no daylight, and then spend your time doing something more intelligent? Well, you think about it. You know, just, I'll tell you how to run your schools up there, but I thought you might think that through. Common sense goes a long ways. You know, if you could ever develop that sense of common sense, my old granddad used to say, that guy ain't got a lick of sense. That guy ain't got a lick of sense, he'd say. The U.S. Department of Education itself has said that its requirements result in 48.6 million hours of paperwork annually, and that's the equivalent of 25,000 full-time employees. The Department of Education admits that its requirements take 48 million hours of paperwork. God, to do what? Well, to distribute 6% of your money. I got to laugh. If we had to run a business like this, I mean, if General Motors is running, I guess General Motors does run like this. That's why they're bankrupt. If any of the rest of us were running a business like this, we'd all be starving to death with dead bodies in the streets. There isn't any way in hell you can run a business like this, for crying out loud. And you sure as hell can't run a public education system like this either. But they can do it and get away with it because, you see, there's no end to the money. You just raise taxes. Here in this state, 75% of every tax dollar spent goes to public education. Help building bridges and roads and streets and highways and paying the governor's salary and all the rest of the government expenses that go on in the whole damn state of Missouri only run on 25 cents. It's the public education system that takes 75 cents out of every dollar. And then the damn kids can't read when you get through. They rip the covers off and they eat the pages and they still can't read. And then they got this woman in Washington, D.C. kind of reform this kind of, you talk about an abortion now. Well, if this ain't an abortion, what is? Last year, it was said that journalist Eleanor Burkett estimated a typical school principal faces 470,000 federal, state, and local regulations. Oh, my God. Hey, Mary, get your pencil out here. Write this down. God, Bob is just going to be fascinated. Bob is going to sit down at the dinner table tonight, and he is going to puke right back in his plate. Listen to this. A journalist, Eleanor Burkett, estimated a typical school principal. This is just any Joe Sixpack school principal. Faces 470,000 federal, state, and local regulations. 470,000. My God, let's divide that. 470,000. Let's divide that by 180. That's 2,611 regulations per day. Let's suppose that a school principal could read one school regulation a minute. It would take 2,611 minutes of every school day just to read the regulations. Forget about implementing them. Let's just read them, okay? So take 2,611, divide that by 60 minutes in an hour, and it would take 43 and a half hours a day to read the regulations that every school principal in America is subjected to. Now, did you get that, Mary? Write that down. Damn it, pay attention. There's 24 hours in a day, remember, Mary? Okay, if there's 450,000 regulations that the school principal is subjected to, that he has to read, know, and understand, and implement. If he could read one a minute, it would take him 43 hours a day just to read them. And that's what he's subjected to. No wonder the school system doesn't work. It's impossible. There isn't anybody that can make such an abortion work, much less reform it. Now you got this woman in Washington, and her job is to reform this. Oh, my God. You people have to be absolutely out of your minds to believe such a thing. You talk about a popular lie. It's not only a lie, it is so preposterous, it isn't even logical. My God, if you were an inmate in a mental hospital, for crying out loud, you should have more sense than this. But there's more. I'm not through yet, Mary. Keep that pencil out. Sharpen it on the other end here. If her estimate is even remotely accurate, the result is a regulatory absurdity and an administrative impossibility. No one could possibly even be aware of so many obligations. Furthermore, policymakers continually making policy means that even at any given time, many, perhaps thousands of these regulations are in the process of being amended, deleted, added to, or otherwise changed. I don't know. Well, let's go out and make some more regulations. I mean, my God, if 450,000 regulations are good, and I presume that they're all good regulations, I mean, you don't have congressmen and representatives and school boards and people making bad law, do you? Making regulations here that are absurdities. We would have to presume, wouldn't we, that they're just doing their best to put out the best regulations possible for the health, safety, and welfare of our children, the future of our nation, aren't they? I want to point out, in 1900, we didn't have any regulations at all. And little Bobby was going to public school and didn't have any regulations. Today, we got 450,000. Okay, well, 450,000 is good, and we presume it is. Wouldn't 900,000 be even gooder? Huh? I mean, we presume 450,000 regulations are good. Well, 450,000 must be better than 225,000, because when we had 225,000 regulations, we obviously came to the conclusion that that wasn't enough, so we needed 450,000, which is what we have today. Which is enough to keep a school principal reading one a minute, occupied for 43 and a half hours a day, 180 days a year. Let's try this out. What if the school principal could read one a minute, 365 days a year? Huh? So we would have, wouldn't we have 450,000 regulations divided by 365 days? Which would be only 1,232 regulations per day, divided by 60 minutes. Now, this is getting into the realm of possibility. Now, if you're a school administrator and you spent 365 days a year doing nothing but reading the regulations that you're obliged to administer, and you could read one a minute, and you did that for 20 hours and 54 minutes a day, and then you slept for 3 hours and 6 minutes a day, you could get it done in 1 year. Oh, my God. No wonder this woman says that it's absurd. Now, if 450,000 regulations are necessary and imperative, and I presume that they are, and if they weren't, and they're specious and frivolous and without foundation or merit, then why in the hell did you make it? So if it's necessary and you got 450,000, which is double the 225,000 you had at some indefinite time in the past, that means that we needed twice as many when we had 225,000. That's why we have 450,000. So right away, my common sense says, well, if 450,000 are good, 900,000 would be twice as gooder. And that's what I think we should shoot for. 900,000 regulations for every school administrator and principal to implement every day of every waking hour in the public schools of America. So let's get after it, shall we? Now, as someone once said about government in general, there are so many laws and regulations that all of us are continually breaking some without being aware that we're doing so or that they even exist. This is assuredly a so of public school boards and staffs. None of this even includes case law, the result of an ever-increasing volume of court decisions, all of which would be bad enough if each detail had a positive effect, but what the late James S. Coleman and his colleagues concluded 40 years ago is likely to still be true. In a 1966 report, they said that they could not find any educational policy or strategy that ensured student achievement. Ha! Hey, wait a minute. Mary, write that down. Write that down. Bob will need this. 40 years ago, in 1966, a report was made concerning the regulations that were in place at that time, something less than 450,000, probably around 225,000. Okay? They looked at 225,000 regulations that are working in the school. And here's what they found. They said they could not find one single educational policy or strategy that ensured any student achievement. Not a single policy was aimed at student achievement. Got that? So what in the hell are you spending this $55.55 a day for? And why do you have these 450,000 policy regulations? Well, it's to keep the educational system, which costs a half a trillion dollars a year, in operation. It employs about 3 million people. 3 million people are spending $500 billion a year, and it keeps them off the streets and out of the pool halls, keeps them occupied, gives them money to spend, keeps the economy humming at your expense. But it's not aimed at student achievement, and indeed it does not produce student achievement, and in fact it produces the exact opposite. If you want student achievement, you strip off these 450,000 regulations, educate your kid at home, it'll cost $3.06 a day, and he'll score at the 86th percentile on average. So if you want student achievement, that's the number one place you want to go. Number two, if you don't want your kid to be that smart, that cheap, spend a little bit more money, $12.77 a day, and send him to the local Catholic school. He will then score 6 percentage points less. He'll score at the 80th percentile, and it'll cost you 4 times as much money. So if you want him a little dumber, for 4 times as much money, send him to parochial school. Now, if you really want to get into it with both hands and both feet, then send your kid to public school, where it will then cost you 15 times more money, and he will score 60% dumber. Now, if you really want the ultimate in a dumb kid, send him to an inner-city public school. I'm going to have to use my calculator to give you the numbers here, Betty. If you want to send your kid to an inner-city public school where it costs $77 a day, and divided by 3, so if you want to spend 25 times more and get 75% dumber, send him to an inner-city public school. That is the ultimate in public education in America. An inner-city public school that costs $14,000 a year and the kid scores at the 28th percentile. That is the apex of success in modern American education. So for you people in Washington, D.C. and New Orleans, you have arrived. This is the promised land. Ronald Reagan, I think, summed it up so well when he said, "The story behind the charter school movement was paraphrased by former President Ronald Reagan. In schooling, he said, government is not the solution to the problem. It is the problem." Now, if you can name one thing that government has ever solved, please let me know. Tell me what it is that government has ever done that solved the problem. And while you're doing that, remember you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.